Hello. Before we get started, just a quick ask. If you are enjoying this podcast, please go over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. Subscribe. If you're on Spotify, if you could follow, or if you're just out on Twitter or in the street, just tell a friend, tell someone you know that you think would like it. It'll just really help other people be able to find the podcast. Thank you. Hello there. Welcome back to another episode of Their Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are here to be your drink to go along with your regular podcast, like your triple whiskey or your gin and tonic, because we just
Who's drinking a triple whiskey?
Ted.
Oh.
There's a...
Oh, right.
In the gala episode, yeah. He's like, can I have this, but three shots or whatever.
That's right.
He's like,
oh, okay. Yeah. See, I should know. I should know that.
And then Rebecca likes gin and tonic.
That's awesome. I like gin and tonic.
Yeah, that's good. So I kind of feel like we're like, you know, whatever drink of choice. If you don't drink, you know, tea, coffee, soda, water, that would go along with your main meal, which would be your main Ted Lasso podcast. Because we just focus on Ted and Rebecca and how they're connected and why I think they are soulmates.
All right.
They're going to get married. Or maybe not. Maybe they'll just live together. They don't need marriage.
You've got them getting married. We're just trying to connect some dots here.
Right. And we're just, I'm hoping for a kiss even at some point, maybe. A date. So this episode is called The Signal. It was released on August 27th of 2021. It's written by Brett Goldstein and directed by Erica Dunton, who also directed the last episode. And I thought it was interesting that there would be a director who would direct like consecutive episodes.
Is it the first time it's happened?
No.
I mean, I don't mean ever. I mean in Ted Lasso.
No, it's not the first time it's happened in Ted Lasso.
Okay.
But I just listened to a great interview with the two editors of Ted Lasso, AJ and Mel, on Peanut Butter and Biscuits. And they were talking about how they swap episodes. So like one takes even numbers, one takes odd numbers. This way you're like working on that and then...
As the other one's getting...
Right. And then the other one's doing the dailies for theirs. And then you kind of have like, you know, because it would be too hard to do the actual next episode. So I thought it was interesting that the director would, but I don't know exactly like what's entailed or if they can break down both episodes at the same time. Kia, if you're listening, let us know.
Tell me later. She's screaming at her radio right now.
She's yelling in her car right now because she has the answers. Our friend Kia works in TV and over the weekend, she was telling me, because I was making fun of Rebecca trying to type out the words on the text, like Hannah Waddingham's fingers are nowhere near the actual letters.
Right.
But she was saying that
like it's nowhere near.
No.
That's funny.
But she was saying that they have a program that basically it's just activated by the actor touching the screen, but the actor doesn't have to actually touch the correct letters. But she thinks it probably is Hannah Waddingham's hands because she said those shots aren't that hard to set up. But and then also, like, some actors would prefer that it be their hands instead of someone else's. But I just think it's funny that Hannah doesn't even try. Like, if the words, I suppose, just go for the S and the U and the P. I mean...
Yeah, who knows?
So the summary for this episode is Rebecca's mother leaves her father, shows up at Rebecca's. But I think that kind of is a catalyst for Rebecca and a few other people to learn some hard truths. Maybe things that they don't want to hear, but they need to know. When this episode opens, we see some clips of how the guys are doing in their latest football matches, and they're doing great. They've won 4 games in a row. And the commentators are kind of attributing that to the Roy Kent effect. And you have, there's like B-roll rolling of Roy out there on the field with someone and like showing how he's coaching the team. And so it pulls out to a TV in someone's kitchen, which is Rebecca's kitchen, because Rebecca's not allowed to watch TV anywhere else in her house.
Except the kitchen.
Right. Only the kitchen TV.
We've established that.
But Rebecca's not even in the kitchen. There is a naked man in her kitchen, and he's making tea. So he kind of yells out of the kitchen because she's still in her room, you know, do you want tea? And she's like, yes, please. And then we see that she is still in bed, and she's looking on her phone. So she's looking through the chat messages that she's been having with London152 on Banter. And again, like, I mean, I get that, like, you're supposed to be able to talk about stuff because you're not focused on what the person looks like.
Right.
But they're Bigfoot? Really? We're not going to discuss, like, you know, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Are you interested in having a family? How old are you?
But I mean, like, but you don't think that, like, it could, like, drift off into this, like, conversation?
Of course.
About, like,
but
if Bigfoot exists and guardian angels and...
I mean, I guess so, but you're not covering any, like, I feel like
maybe
this
they
would
did.
Be,
maybe they covered that.
But they obviously didn't, because she had no idea how old he was.
That's
or
true. That's a good point.
They don't know anything about each other like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I guess
you know?
So. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like this, I mean, it's whatever. We need it for the plot. For the, you know, the plot, obviously. But I think maybe it would have been a little easier to swallow if it was like a thing where you had to just focus on these certain topics. Like, we don't want you to worry about age or if you want kids or anything like that. Let's just talk about, let's really make sure that you're aligned on these things because we feel that these things are what will make a couple come together or something. Mm-hmm, yeah. It's just as funny, like they're talking about Bigfoot. Oh, and she and Rebecca definitely believes in Bigfoot. And it's interesting that the guardian angels...
For sure. She for says sure. about Bigfoot. For sure. She's sure. no doubt.
Wait a minute. What a movie is that from? Oh, 40-Year-Old Virgin, right?
I think so, yeah. Yes.
And so then he asks guardian angels. And he says, a coworker made fun of me for believing in guardian angels. Then he tripped and fell. Coincidence? And Rebecca says, I believe in guardian angels.
And see, he's a footballer, so I could see somebody tripping and falling, right?
Right.
See?
She doesn't know that, but yes.
Right. All right, I just give it away.
I mean, everybody knows. Hey, guys, it's Sam.
I know, but...
No, I mean, I'm not worried about spoiling season two, and we do find that reveal out at the end of this episode.
Right.
But also coming into this episode, we just had that fake out where you kind of thought she could be talking to Ted.
Right.
Now you can kind of think of it like these are things I could see Ted saying, and I think that's also why it had to be Sam. Because he is the most like Ted. Like she would never have been having this conversation with Jamie.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's true.
Jamie would have been like,
yep.
Do you like reverse cowgirl or regular cowgirl?
Sure.
Rebecca yells out to the naked man in her kitchen, Luca, do you believe in guardian angels? And Luca asks, is that like the Guardians of the Galaxy? Now, I love the Guardians of the Galaxy got a shout out here.
I do too, but did you just realize how stupid he is?
Rebecca's like, oh, well, the sex was good at least.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
But you know, Luca's is not here for any other reason than that. Like, you get that impression right off the bat. So, especially since did we already establish that his name and her? No, we will, that it's Hunky Luca.
Hunky Luca.
So then she sees that his clothes are still laying around her room, and she's like, wait a minute, are you naked in my kitchen right now? And he says that he's wearing a smile.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, put some clothes on because the house cleaner is coming any minute now. So Luca gets something out of the refrigerator. He turns around to shut the door and there is a woman standing there. And he's like, oh, Mina, because he thinks that's Mina, the house cleaner.
Right.
House cleaner. What? House cleaner.
Cleaner. Keeper.
Or keeper. And he says, would you like some tea? And she looks him over, notices that he's completely naked and asks if there will be biscuits with that. And then Rebecca walks in and she's like, oh, mother. And she's holding Luca's clothes. And then Luca, again, not smart. He's like, your mom's your housekeeper? Oh my God, I did it again. Your housekeeper? I shouldn't have had this drink beforehand. And she's like, just waving him off. She would like him to just stop talking.
Right.
And she's like, mother, what are you doing here? And she's like, I've left your father. And she's like, he doesn't respect me. And this isn't a healthy relationship for me. And Luca's all like, good for you.
Good for you.
Yes. And Rebecca's like, Luca, will you please put clothes on? And then you see a mop drop And that is the housekeeper. And Mina has arrived to a naked man in the kitchen and Rebecca's mother and Rebecca. Why does Rebecca have so many lemons in her kitchen?
I don't know. God, that is a lot.
Is she making... When she gets home from work today, is she also hosting a Girl Scouts lemonade stand or the version of the Girl Scouts in the UK?
Must make a lot of lemons.
In her front yard?
Lemonade.
Yeah. Like, what is happening? It's very odd to me.
It is.
So, poor Mina...
I didn't even notice it first time. I think I didn't notice it until you just said something.
I just noticed it on this last time we rewatched because it's, I mean, it's a beautiful set dressing, but it's just so funny that there are so many lemons.
That is a lot of lemons.
When life hands you lemons, you make lemon lavender mojitos. Maybe that's the tie-in because Rebecca's mom's going to say that later. Yep. Okay, so Mina's like, I'm going to go start in the study, and she hightails it out of there. I just want to note, too, before we move on, how like well put together Rebecca is here at this opening scene with this guy, because we're going to kind of see a parallel to this later in the season where she's going to seem much more relaxed than she does now. So I think it's also just kind of trying to show that this Luca character is like not someone that she's planning to let in at all. Like she still has all of her armor on and her guards up.
Right.
But maybe later in the season, we're going to see that change. So now we see Ted get to work in the morning, and I noticed that it still says Rupert Mannion Training Center on the doorway when he walks in. You would have thought Rebecca would have ripped that shit down.
I know, that's interesting. But maybe that's the name of the facility. I don't know, for some reason or another. It's legally named that.
Maybe we will see a point where we see that sign come down.
True.
And he sees someone in the parking lot that he knows, Liza. He's like, good morning. Hope you had a great weekend. He's like, I saw your Instagram post. Way to keep that ice bucket challenge alive.
Like, that thing was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it had to be like 2017, I think. Oh, 2018.
Easily. I feel like it was even before that, but maybe.
Possibly. Then he sees the guy who is the groundskeeper riding the little lawnmower that he has ridden on with him before, and he waves to him. So it's just cute how Ted knows everybody. You know, when he gets to work, he knows everyone's name, he knows what they do, and then this is a fantastic callback. So now Ted goes inside, and there's a receptionist there, and then we meet Liam. And we've heard Liam before because this is who Rebecca and Higgins were making fun of when they were trying to find a place for Higgins to sit. And he said that he didn't want to sit next to laughing Liam. So Ted comes in and he's like, tell your mom happy birthday for me. And whatever gift you give her, let her know it's from both of us. And that makes Liam laugh. And it is the exact laugh that Higgins and Rebecca were making
great.
Fun
that's
of.
Great they did that.
Yeah, it's just such a cute little callback. Ted runs into Dr. Sharon, and he's saying good morning to her. He's asking her what she got up to over the weekend, and she's like, nothing I'm going to talk about at work. So he's like, ooh, you are so mysterious. So she's trying to get him to make an appointment to come talk to her, and he's like, no, I talk all the time. Like, in 5 minutes, you would want me to shut up. So he's like, and he's basically letting her know that there's no reason for him to make any kind of therapy appointment. Then he runs into Roy and Keeley. They're looking all cute and lovey-dovey in the hallway. He makes some jokes about shipping them. And then Roy threatens to call HR, and he says, tell Mr. Puffin Stuff hello.
Yep.
And so he says, that is for people born.
That is a joke for people born in the early to mid-70s.
So I think I just miss it, because I didn't.
HR Puffin Stuff?
Yeah. I was born in 76, but I don't remember watching HR Puffin Stuff.
Oh, okay. That was, I you know what? I don't know what it was on. Like, I don't remember how I watched it, but it was like HR Puffin Stuff.
Yeah, or maybe I was just so young that I don't have a physical memory.
It was like real. It's actually, if you go watch it now, it's very trippy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like a drug. It's like almost drug.
Nice.
You know, themed.
That
fits not
in
theme,
with that,
but
that era.
It's very trippy. Yeah. That's for sure.
But I do think that Jason.
It was. You know what it was? It was the Yo Gabba Gabba of its time.
Oh, nice.
So, like, kind of how Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not a lot of people know that, but.
Well, if they have,
Isla watched it for
anyone
a long
who
time.
Has young kids definitely knows Yo Gabba Gabba. Yeah, I feel like they've faded away.
I used to love.
Like, yeah, it was Gabba great. Gabba. Biz Markie was on there. We've
That's
had
right.
Biz
That's
Markie
right.
references yep. and a song on this show. Rest
That's
in peace.
That's a good point.
But also, Jason Sudeikis, I think, is my exact age. So perhaps I just didn't have that channel, or I just don't remember it. Now, here's another instance where I love when they walk into a conversation. So as Ted gets to his office, where Beard and Nate are already there,
okay,
and you barely even catch this because he's saying it so quietly, but it's on the closed captioning. Nate is saying, and then they just change the shape of the tortellini.
I know, and I want to look that up. I want to know if tortellini was a different shape.
No. Wait, oh, that's funny. Okay, so wait. I was thinking that he's complaining about some restaurant. But you're actually taking this as like a history of tortellini, even funnier.
Okay. So that's what I took it as. Okay. The history of tortellini. And they, meaning the people, like whoever,
right,
just changed the shape of it.
Yeah.
But maybe you're probably more accurate.
yours is funnier. So let's go with that. But
right, I'm going to look it up and let you know.
But I love that we've had that before with them walking in with Sassy. And she's like, now that my back tattoo is completely gone, I miss it. Like just these random little.
I know. It's kind of funny that they did that.
And it makes it feel so real because you are not going to just walk into an office where people no one's going to be.
There.
Yeah, they right. are going to be talking about stuff beforehand. And so they come up with these little witty lines that are just so great. So Ted's in a great mood and he's telling him, you know, he's so excited for this FA Cup that's coming up because it's basically a March Madness tournament in the middle of the season. I don't know much about sports, but I do know that he's relating that to basketball.
Basketball, yeah, college basketball, March yes. Madness, yeah.
Then he's asking, you know, has there ever been a situation where someone in a league like us just wins the whole thing? And they say, yes, 8 times. But it hasn't happened in the last 40 years.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Higgins pops up behind Ted. He's back in the weight room looking through the window. And Ted's like, oh, no, you got knocked out of your office again, huh? But of course he did, because Roy has now taken over the spot that he had with Nate. So poor Higgins is out of an office.
Again.
Yeah. And he's like, it's okay, because I'm a flaneur by nature. And Ted's like, ah, I hear that. And then he asks Beard, what does that mean?
Yeah, what's a flaneur?
And Beard knows everything. And he right. says it's a wanderer. So Beard had been tired when they walked in. And now Beard's really yawning. So they ask him, what's going on with you? And he says, oh, well, Jane and I got back together. And everyone's like, oh, that's great. Oh, good. Oh, fantastic. I mean, their heart's not really in it, but they're all just telling him that they're happy for him. And he's like, thanks. But then Higgins says, do you really think that that's a good idea? And everyone looks at him. Now, this is a great thing to note here, because we're going to find out something interesting about Ted. So everyone in the room kind of gets tense. And Beard looks a little upset until he realizes that he has 2 missed calls from Jane, and he panics and runs out to go answer them. Now, we've seen Higgins before, you know, push his wife's calls to the side or whatever, but he just like texts her that he has to call her later. But Beard is so afraid of Jane that he's afraid that if he doesn't answer right away, she's going to assume that he's cheating on her or something and completely flip out. So once he leaves the room, Higgins asks if they can call a meeting of the Diamond Dogs, an emergency meeting. So they're like, sure. And Roy gets the hell out of there.
He walks out.
Yeah. You want to stay? No. And just shuts the door. So now Higgins is trying to get into the office because he's still through the window. And he's trying to go through it all Dukes of Hazzard style.
I know, but he can't do it.
And then Ted's like, you'd probably call that Earls of Risk here, which is a great joke. So yeah, and then I don't even know what he's doing. The legs are like flopping to the side. And this part really makes me sad about Nate, because he's so cute here when he's like, why don't you just go around?
Yeah, if you just walked around, you'd already be in.
Yeah, if you just got around, you would have been here already. Like, and for some reason, seeing this side of Nate again gives me hope that they are going to redeem him in some way in season 3. I'm hoping that we haven't seen the end of it.
I know.
I'm going to say it right there. I know people say that he can't be redeemed, but...
I know. I almost agree with you. I think about that, too, and I think that it will come around.
Yeah. Oh, and so bringing back that other podcast, Peanut Butter and Biscuits, that interviewed the editors, Mel was saying that she has had friends tell her, like, there's no redeeming Nate. And she has said to them, well, but we redeemed Rebecca. And, like, we didn't know Rebecca before she went to the dark right. side, but now we do know Rebecca on the other side of it. So I do think that there's a possibility that Nate can be redeemed. And I always go back to that story that Ted told at the first episode of this season about the dog who bit him and then ended up being a very important part of his life in the end. So anyway, Higgins does not go around and he can't get through the window. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to stay right here. So what he also talk about is the fact that he just said, you know, he called out that he doesn't think Jane and Beard are very good together. And he's upset that no one backed him up. And so they're like, well, yeah. And Ted says, well, I'm going to tell you why I didn't back you up. And it's that you should never say anything. So Higgins doesn't really understand that. And he's like, listen, I had a friend growing up. He had the same girlfriend from grade school to high school, college. And I never liked her. He said she was a bit of a pill. He's like, and eventually I told him so. And it did not go well. And he says, and that is the last time I gave a best man speech.
Mm-hmm. I know, you would think he would have told him earlier.
Ted, I think your timing was a bit off.
Yeah, right.
But I do think it's interesting that we're learning here that Ted doesn't think that you should give your opinions on other people's relationships. And Nate kind of jumps in and he's like, yeah, I mean, I kind of don't either, because in year 10 or whatever, oh, year 4, he was pretty young. I can't remember exactly how the grades go, but I think like year 10 is kind of equivalent to a sophomore or junior here. So he would have been like in primary school still,
I guess. Well, yeah.
He says that his father sat down, he and his classmate, Nadia Shookums, and told them that they could both do better. And which Nadia is, believed him.
I know, which is crazy.
But again, we get a little insight into Nate's father,
yeah,
which is not a good look. So Ted's like, man, that is a heap of truth right there. So he says to Higgins, you know, and that's it. Like, I don't think it's ever a good idea to get involved in anyone else's business. And then Higgins makes this little noise.
Yeah, like a almost little, like a gagging.
Yeah, it's
or
like
something.
A gag reflex that we haven't heard since right. season one, because he had that same gag reflex sound when he was stressed out about the way Ted was being treated. Now the guys are down on the field or pitch or whatever they call it for training, and Ted hears someone yelling "Ted" through the window. This part is probably one of the most gift things that I've seen on Twitter going around.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, just her hanging out the window yelling, "Do you have lunch plans?"
It's really funny.
It is really funny. And she looks gorgeous. Like, the lighting on her is so pretty there. And I really like the dress that she's wearing that we never actually get to see the whole thing of. But there's a Twitter account where they find all of Rebecca's clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Which are gorgeous and super expensive. And so I saw the whole dress and it was very pretty, but we didn't get to see it on her. But it's also funny because no one wears a dress like Hannah Waddingham. Like, you know how models traditionally are quite thin and straight?
Yeah.
So all of these dresses, when the person is finding them, like, you know, on the page where you can buy it, it's like a small woman with no curves just standing there and the dress is just hanging. And then you see it on her and it's like, wow, like that looks a lot different on Hannah Waddingham. Like, she makes it look so much better than any of the dresses.
That sounds boring.
And I have heard that Hannah has them tailored to like fit her perfectly, which is a smart move because she looks fantastic. So she yells down and she says, ask Ted, do you have lunch plans? And he's like, well, yeah, actually I do. Coach Beard and I do this thing on Fridays where we make each other a sandwich. And she's like, I don't care, Ted. She says, you're coming to lunch with me and my mother.
Right.
And he's like, okay. So I think it's really cute, one, that Rebecca wants him to go to lunch with. Like, I feel like Rebecca's mom probably knows a little bit about Ted.
Yeah.
And is like, I want to meet this mustachioed man. That I hear you talk about, because the two people that get invited to lunch are Keely and Ted.
Yeah, and I also think that maybe Rebecca wanted kind of a support system there.
Or yeah, like exactly.
You know, not just her and the mother. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. And remember when she had a difficult lunch that she had to go to, and so she invited Ted, because she knows that Ted is going to talk to her the whole time.
Right, and like, that's true too.
Like, that's what she was trying to go with the Milk Sisters. She wanted him to entertain them so that it wouldn't be quite as exhausting for her. But yeah, and I think it's cute that Ted's just like, okay, yeah, like, he's going to go because she just told him he has to. He doesn't really have a choice even. She asked him, but she didn't really ask him. So then Rebecca's mom comes to the window and she's like, oh, I'm looking forward to lunching with you. And he says, hey, guys, say hi to Rebecca's mom. And then she kind of goes on this little speech. It's not Rebecca's mom. It's Deborah. And she's a work in progress.
Yes.
A voracious book on tape, listener. And then she says, if you get dealt lemons in life, then you should make lemon lavender mojitos.
What is that?
I don't know, but it sounds fantastic.
That's a thing, maybe.
I'm sure.
We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a drink. And that maybe could be why there were so many lemons in the kitchen as a symbol.
True.
So Ted says, oh, I love meeting people's moms. It's like the instruction manual as to why they're nuts, mm-hmm. which is a fantastic line. And then Beard starts screaming something and Ted's like, so how is Mrs. Beard? And he says, full on QAnon.
That's awesome.
Full blown QAnon. Yeah, that sounds about right. They're in the office getting ready to leave for lunch. Mm-hmm. And I found this interesting. So Keeley comes in and she asks Ted, are you okay driving back from lunch? Because she wants to get a little buzz for something that she has to do later. And so she figures it'll make him more creative. So at some point, Ted learned how to drive on the other side of the road.
I mean, it doesn't sound like he's doing it a lot.
No, because he's like, sure, I'll give it a shot.
Right.
So I'm hoping that he has all the legal requirements fulfilled to do that. But maybe. And also, where's Rebecca's Royce? Oh, my gosh.
Rolls Royce.
Thank you. But I think they need to make, you know how some shows used to have webisodes? I want to see the little webisodes of whoever taught Ted how to drive. Because it would have been funny if it was like Bumbercatch or something.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Isaac. or Colin. Because Colin is terrible in that Lamborghini. Seems very dangerous.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So Ted's phone rings and he answers it. And it's Henry's school. And he gets real nervous at first because for them to be calling him, something must be seriously wrong. So he's like, is he okay? We only hear Ted's side of the conversation. But it turns out that Henry just forgot to bring his lunch to school and he really needs it that day because they're going on a field trip. So he's like, oh, okay, well then, you know, I'm not going to be able to come because I work in London. And he's like, you're going to have to contact his mom. And then they're like, oh, actually she just pulled up. So he's like, okay, great. And he refers to Michelle as his wife. And then he kind of catches himself and he says, his mom. And so I think they're just trying to show us that his stress levels are raising. Now at lunch, which is taking place at the Crown and Anchor, of course.
There's no other place to eat.
Yes. Why go anywhere else?
Right.
Keeley and Ted are fulfilling exactly what Rebecca brought them there for. They are eagerly listening to everything that Rebecca's mom is saying about this. And she's telling him, you know, I looked him in the eye and I said, Paul, I'm leaving you. I'm going to live my best life now. And I love that she says, until I die or until I'm murdered.
Until I die. Yeah, or until I'm murdered.
And Rebecca's like, what? And then she says, and then I stood up, flushed the toilet, pulled up my trousers, and walked out of there. So she said all of that to him while on the toilet.
Yep.
But Keeley and Ted just cannot stop listening. They're very interested in all this. Ted tries to, you know, relate to her, and he says, as someone who is also recently divorced, the best advice I've heard is to leave people well. And then she's like, oh, well, yes, but I'm leaving him, and I heard that you're the one that got left. Poor Ted. And he's like, that actually is absolutely
His
true.
His business was all aired out.
And you can tell Rebecca's kind of in trouble because she's obviously the one who told her mom that Ted's wife left him, and now Ted's felt a little uncomfortable here. So the three guys who are always at the bar, Paul, Jeremy, and one other one that I can't remember now.
I can't remember. Don't ask me.
Paul's my favorite. So they're there cheering at the TV again, and Deborah's like, can you get them to stop cheering at the match? And May's like, no, there's no match on. They're watching Bake Off.
Bake Off.
So those guys just hang out there
all the time. All day long. Doesn't matter what's on TV.
No. So Rebecca's mom gets a phone call from her psychic and leaves the table to take it. Her psychic named Tish. So Keeley's like, well, this is great. I'm so proud of her. You know, I can't believe she's doing this. Is she going to move in with you? And Rebecca's like, forget everything that she just said. Rebecca's been over this plenty of times before. She says they do this every couple of years. My dad acts up. She says she's going to leave him. They pretend to move on. And then he buys her some environmentally conscious gift. And they get back together. She's like, but she's paying for lunch. So go ahead and enjoy your free lunch. But Ted says, well, you know, maybe she could change. You know, people can change.
Yeah, right.
And Rebecca says some people can, but she cannot. When he gets back to work, luckily everyone survived that car ride back to the training club. Ted walks in on a fight between Jamie and Roy. So earlier, Jamie was upset over the fact that Roy hasn't been coaching him. He's coaching everyone else on the team, but he's kind of ignoring him. And he asked for advice. And Keeley's advice was to just agree with everything Roy says because it really takes the anger out of his brat sales.
Right.
So Jamie was doing that exact thing. And when Roy would say something mean to him, Jamie was just repeating it back. But the fight just kind of escalated and they ended up walking into where Ted could hear them. So he's like, what is happening? And he says, you know, Roy's complaining about Jamie. Jamie's saying that Roy's being an asshole. And Ted's like, you know what? I hate to tell you this, Roy, but Jamie is actually being more mature here.
And then, wow, it's like, whoa. I know.
But I love Jamie's line of, it's true. I'm being super mature, you big, dumb, hairy baby twat.
I know. It's like, what?
Fantastic. So he says, you know, you need to coach him. We need to figure out a way to make this work. And Jamie's like, if you know how to make me better, please tell me. So Roy, and this is big for Jamie, to be coming to Roy, someone in season one that he would have never asked for advice for coaching from. So Roy's like, okay, you want to know what's wrong with him? You fucked him up. And he points to Ted. So he says, you've made him a team player. He's passing now. He's doing all the things that you wanted to do. But by doing that, you made him average. Because deep down, he's a prick, and that's what makes him good. Mm. So Jamie's like, okay, well, you want me to go back to being a prick? And he's like, no, just sometimes when it is appropriate.
It's confusing.
Yes. And then he tells Jamie, you know, we'll give you a signal. And Ted pops his little head in there and he's like, oh, what is that? What is it going to be?
Right. Like he does. He has no idea. Yeah.
And so Roy just says, you'll know it when you see it. And he walks away. So Ted's like, all right. Yeah. You'll know it when you see it. I think this is also probably the second picture that I see going around Twitter the most is just this screenshot of Ted pointing to the Believe sign with Jamie in the foreground.
That's funny.
And some people like to write different things on the Believe. Oh, okay. Like you erase the Believe and then you can write whatever you want because he's just pointing to it. It's funny. It's cute. Rebecca's in her kitchen and she is looking over a new message from London 152. And it says, hey, boss girl, just a quick thanks for being one of the best parts of my day. It's you and breakfast tied neck and neck. Now, that's another thing you could see Ted saying, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think at this point, if you saw that fake out and you think that that's the direction it's going in, it still seems believable. She teases him like, okay, enough. Just tell me who you are. And he won't do it. So then her mother comes in and tells her that she's not going with her to the match today because she's going to meet up with some friends. They're going to a Brené Brown reading. And she's like, but don't worry because I'm going to make your favorite, which is shepherd's pie with cheesy top.
Yeah, sounds fantastic.
Yes. And then when she gets home that night, they can have a proper talk. Oh, all the lemons are gone.
Oh, somebody eat them all? What happened to them?
They made a lot of lemon lavender mojitos last night.
In the break.
Or we just didn't see the part where Rebecca had a full-on lemonade stand in front of her house, which I think would be very cute. The other thing here is Deborah calls Rebecca sausage. I didn't realize that that's a term of endearment. And I don't...
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
That it is?
Yeah. I think it is, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like that's what it's compared to anyway.
Oh, yes. But like, I don't know, for some reason I was thinking that like that was just kind of, I think I was thinking it was going to be sort of a tension point with them where like her mom calls her sausage and her best friend calls her stinky.
Right.
Like this girl can't win. But I do think it is a term of endearment because I've heard of silly sausage.
Right.
But then I heard Hannah Waddingham refer to her own daughter as sausage and sausage face. So I do think that it is a term of endearment, and it may even be being used here because it is what she uses to refer to her own daughter. Mm. We call our bearded dragon sausage.
That's what we call our bearded dragon is sausage. But I just started calling that because he kind of looked like a sausage for a little while.
Right, because he looks like a sausage because he's all kind of long and round. And so when I
but
first,
I still call him sausage.
So I think that's also why we were taken aback by that being a pet name for your child, because it just kind of seemed odd and it's not something that we're used to. But yes, so I do think that it is totally meant with love here and not supposed to be aligned with like sassy calling Rebecca stinky.
Okay.
So she's going to make her shepherd's pie with cheesy top, and they'll have
a proper chat
after the game. She's like, how does that sound? She says, that sounds perfect. But I think Rebecca still feels like this is...
She knows it probably won't happen.
Yeah, it's futile. At the match that day, the guys are all playing. Jamie is doing what Jamie has been doing lately, which is being a great teammate, passing the ball. And even the commentators and announcers are saying, you know, that Jamie Tartt really doesn't have the fire in him that he used to. So Ted's like, oh, I guess it's time for the signal. And Roy's like, yep. And he's like, did you by chance come up with a better one?
No.
No. So they all stand in a row. It's Ted, Nate, Beard, and Roy. And they all give Jamie the middle finger. And I like that Ted's trying to conceal his middle finger with his jacket. Like just on that, like one side. Like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to help. Right. But it's totally on TV. And May and all the guys at the pub are laughing over it. The announcers are making a comment about the fruity sign language, apologizing for it. So Jamie realizes that that's the signal. He gets out there and he acts like a prick. He ends up getting fouled so that he can kick a field goal. Is that correct?
I guess so, correct? Yeah. I guess.
And they're thinking this is going to backfire on them because he's way too far away when it happens, but he does, in fact, make the kick. And I saw video of the guy who plays Coach Beard, Brendan Hunt. He showed, like, the actual shot of Phil Dunster making that shot.
Oh, really?
Like, he really made the shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know. It's pretty impressive. They were saying that, like, some of these guys are, you know, definitely they picked people who were obviously had a history with football growing up, but there are a few standouts like Phil Dunster and Christoph, who is Danny Rojas, and a couple other ones that can't remember. I think Tohib, who plays Sam Obasanya, also was one. Brett Goldstein was not one.
Oh, really?
No. Interesting. I mean, he played, but he's older and he's basically a writer. Like, I don't think he's as, you know, athletic as the other guys. Jamie makes the shot. Everybody is very excited.
Yep.
And if you noticed, Ted kind of, like, I feel like Nate's going for Ted, and then Ted just kind of like pats him on the shoulder and goes past him and goes straight to Roy. And Nate really notices that.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, that was Roy's move, Roy's thing.
Yes.
But so he's going to congratulate him.
Yes. And I think that a person in a normal headspace would probably not take that as hard as Nate does, but you can see it register on his face, and these are things that are going to pile on. So at the match, Rebecca is watching from the owner's box. She's sitting there with Higgins. There's a space in between them because Keely's gone to go get something. You think they call them pretzels?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's probably like a twisty. Salted twisty or something. I don't know. I'm completely making that up. Please don't.
Don't
be
get
offended
mad,
by my.
I know they call chips crisps.
Okay, crisps.
Yes. She's looking over her messages. First, we see her looking at Hunky Luca's messages. We see that the night before, one of them had asked if they were free. And he asked if she was free for a sexy sleepover. She says yes, tonight.
Sexy sleepover.
And then earlier that day, he had messaged her again and let her know that he could have gone a few more rounds. Yes, so Luca is interested. Then she flips over to Banter, and she doesn't have any new messages there.
I know, but like, there's several people she's talking to on Banter. Did we always know that?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen her actually have a dialogue with any of the other ones.
Right, but on that particular scene, you see she flips over and has probably four or five people.
And the screen names are hilarious. One's like Male Legend.
Oh, okay. All right.
Horn Dog.
Horn Dog. Horn Dog, it says start a conversation.
Okay. So
but also, if you look at Male Legend, the last thing that's said in that text is it's very hard to believe. So God only knows what that conversation is.
Yeah, so that's hilarious, I'm going to say that that's actually Rebecca saying that to Male Legend.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And that means Male Legend probably revealed his penis size or something.
Right, yes.
I don't know, I'm just guessing. And then she wrote, it's very hard to believe.
And then Horn Dog, who he probably reached out to her and she's not even starting a conversation.
No, yeah.
And then Born This Way, I think is what it says.
And then you can't see what they've responded, what's going on there. So, all right, very interesting.
Then Higgins gags and Rebecca says, your noise is back.
I know, so funny.
She knows that something's wrong. And he tells her that he feels compelled to tell a friend something that he knows they aren't going to want to hear. And she's like, is this about Beard and Jane? And he's surprised that she even knows. And she's like, I see her sometimes in the car park. She's like, she's a little intense, but she's adorable. She's like a tipsy Reese Witherspoon playing running charades. And then Higgins says, what's running charades? And for some reason, this makes me laugh so hard when she's just like, what's running charades?
Like he should know.
Yes,
she should absolutely know what they are.
She is so offended that Higgins doesn't know what running charades is.
That's funny.
I didn't know what it was either. I've only
now
heard
we had
of
to look it up.
Charades, which is how we say it. And yeah, we had to look it up. So basically, like the person who's doing the charade has to do a certain number of them in an amount of time. So once their team gets the one they are doing, then they run back to the host and get another one and then go back to the team. So I guess that's why it's called running charades. So Rebecca says, listen, don't say anything. And here's her reason why. She says that her parents should have split up years ago. And when the mom left him when she was in college, she congratulated her and said that she deserved a better life. Mm. And then they got back together and the mother didn't speak to her for 9 months. So she's like, it's not worth it because you're going to be the one that gets hurt in this and nothing is going to change about the relationship. But Higgins is like, if you really care about someone, shouldn't you keep trying? And that's when Keely gets back with all of their crisps or salted twisties.
I guess some kind of chip situation.
And she knows exactly what they're talking about. And she's like, are you guys talking about Beard and Jane? And she says that Jane followed her all the way home one night to ask if Beard was shagging Ted.
Like, what?
Back down on the field, we are going to see Ted have his second panic attack that we've seen on camera. I mean, I guess we kind of saw a little bit of one starting at the press conference in the first episode, a little one of his hands going a bit numb another time, and he was able to reel it in. But the last one we really saw was the karaoke bar, and now this one, he's not going to be able to recover here.
Right.
So you kind of start hearing different voices in his head, and you hear Jamie Tart's dad yelling at him. Then you hear his own son saying Jamie Tart's name. And Beard realizes that something's going on, so he asks him, are you okay? And he's like, oh, my stomach hurts. And he just kind of walks off. So the commentators see him walking off.
Right.
Everyone sees him walking off. And I guess it's considered that he's abandoning the game. Like, I didn't realize that people would be so shocked to see a coach. Like what if he was just going to the bathroom or something? But I guess you do that when it's halftime or whatever. So the announcers say, I know that walk. That is the run of a man who just ate a bad fish pie.
Fish pie.
And Rebecca notices. So she sees Ted run off. So as the game goes on, she gets up and she tells Keely, I'll be right back, and grabs her purse and leaves the seats. It was a bad time for Ted to leave the game, too, because it seems like they're getting to a point where they really need to score or they're going to lose. And so the rest of the guys kind of start panicking a little bit as to what to do. And the announcers notice that and again say, this is what a bad fish pie can do to a team.
I like that they just expand on the effects of the fish pie.
Now, as much as I'm interested in trying out this shepherd's pie with cheesy top, fish pie, no thank you.
No, does not sound appetizing.
No, and then maybe I'm just being ignorant to what it actually is, but I'm not interested in fish pie. Nate takes control, and he takes three players out, puts three new players in, And they're going to go with his play of park the bus.
Park the bus.
Now we see Rebecca going to find Ted. I love the way this is edited too, with the rest of the game playing underneath, like you hear the announcers.
Right. Yeah, that was actually well done.
Yes.
Right.
But this is so, I was actually a little surprised at how worried Rebecca looks when she's looking for Ted. Like, she obviously knows he's having a panic attack.
Right. And she knows something's going on.
Yeah. And she remembers what happened to him when they were outside the club.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really wants to find him and be there for him. And I just think that's so sweet. So she's looking, she goes through the weight room, she goes into his office.
Yeah, like she's looked everywhere.
Yeah. She really looks genuinely concerned. Like, I think this kind of shows a bit of a deeper connection between them. And we saw, one, I thought it was cute that she wanted Ted to go to lunch with them. But again, like you were saying, the reasoning there could be that
it's like a buffer.
A buffer, yeah. And she wants him to chatter away and listen to her mother.
Right.
But for her to really be this concerned for him now, I really feel shows deeper feelings on Rebecca's side for Ted. And not necessarily that she's thinking of him as a romantic interest yet, but he is someone who means a lot to her. And she saw that he was upset and she wants to find him and make him feel better.
Right.
So she goes into his office. He's not there. And then she looks out back into the locker room and she sees his jacket laying on the floor. So she goes over and she picks up the jacket and she looks pretty upset that he is, I guess, I don't know, he must have been sweating or something.
ripped
his jacket off and left. And so the whole time the announcers are still announcing the game underneath and Park the Bus worked and they won the game. So she's distraught holding Ted's jacket and the entire team kind of brushes in past her. And it's a great scene too because she looks like she's just kind of out of it. And the guys don't notice her standing there at all. And they're, you know, it's kind of like her being upset matched with them being so excited. So Roy and Beard come in and they're like, congratulations. And she's like, oh, great, congratulations. And she's like, I'm glad to see the Roy Kent effect is alive and well. And he's like, nope, that was all Nate.
Yeah, right. I mean, he gave him credit. He gives Nate credit there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Beard asks Rebecca, where's Ted? And she said, I don't know. And Beard says, he said it was something with his stomach. I'll check in on him on the way home. Now, the other interesting thing is that instead of celebrating with the team, like Nate is right there. He's taken his jacket off and he is on the step and repeat to press, which I think is interesting because I don't know. Obviously Roy would not have done. They would have had to drag him out there to talk to him if it had been the Roy Kent effect. But Nate really wants to get some spotlight. As she's leaving, Rebecca sees that Higgins and Beard are talking in the parking lot, or car park, as they would say.
Car park.
She hears Higgins tell him, you know, as someone who cares about you, I just want to know, does Jane make you better? You're a great man. Does Jane make you better? And Beard gets visibly upset and kind of like, Higgins is like, okay, never mind, you know, whatever. And he kind of knocks Higgins' hand away when he goes to shake it and instead gives him a hug. And I think, and Rebecca sees this, and I think she's kind of now getting the courage to maybe go home and have that talk with her mom.
Mm.
Because even though Beard didn't listen, he heard, I think. On the way home, Rebecca decides to call Ted. And they show her recent calls. And I love this list. Because it's fun to see Leslie is no longer in her phone as shithead. So
yeah, well, that's a bonus.
That's great. And then, but I also love that, like, he called twice and she just kind of didn't answer. And then I think she finally called him back. And then Keely's in there and her mom and Sassy. So it's just really cute to see, like, who her recent calls are. So she calls Ted and Ted has the most Ted-like voice mail in. What would you call that? The outgoing message?
Like his
greeting or whatever.
Yeah, greeting or whatever.
And she just kind of like gives a little smile and a shake of her head.
Because acknowledge it.
Yeah, but you can tell that there's like a small little smile of like, Ted, you know, like kind of similar to when he made that silly joke in the Christmas one and she kind of rolled her eyes at him. So she just leaves a message saying, you know, it's me and I was really worried about you. Hope you're okay. And then she says, if you need me, please give me a call. And then she says, I'm going home to have a really difficult conversation with my mom, and I could use one of your pep talks.
See? She was just relying on him.
She was, yes. And I think also, because it is, it's kind of like, okay, Rebecca, this isn't about you, because obviously something's wrong with Ted. But
right.
I do think in Rebecca's thinking is like, that would make Ted feel better. Like, because for him to be able to help other people is exactly what he wants to do and would make him feel better. So if he did just have a stomach ache, then he would totally get on the phone to have this pep talk with her to get her through talking to her
mom. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So she gets home. She's yelling for her mom, and her mom is not there. And then, you know what's so interesting? When she takes her shoes off here at this end of the stairs, I was a little nervous. Like, are they going to have someone come down the stairs and then trip and fall or something?
Oh, is that what you think?
Yes, because she just left the shoes right there in front of the staircase. But she goes into the kitchen, and there's just a note from her mom. It says, sausage. And then it says, you know, I'm sorry I'm not here, but your father apologized, and he bought me a Tesla, and I'll take you for a spin in it the next time I see you. And she says, the shepherd's pie is in the fridge. You just need to heat it up. So Rebecca's like, all right, well, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, she was right. Yep. She said it earlier in the episode.
Yep. So feeling a little down and not really wanting to be alone, she goes to her phone, finds Hunky Luca's number, and calls him. And he's surprised that she's actually giving him a phone call instead of a text. And she's like, no, I haven't been arrested. So she just says, you know, my mom's gone. So if you want to come over, come on over. And he does. She throws her phone down on the bed and goes to take a shower. And you see that a notification comes up from London 152. And it says, crazy day at work today, but couldn't stop thinking about you. Maybe we should meet.
See.
And then they reveal who is holding the phone. And it is Sam. So Sam's in a car with Colin and Isaac. They're on their way out to go party. And yeah,
they're rapping to Drake lyrics.
Oh, yes.
Listening to a Drake song.
If I remember correctly, this actor, the actor who plays Colin, is like this with lyrics. And I think that's why they put it in, because he knows all of them.
Oh, I see.
So they tell him, like, hey, put your phone away. And he's like, oh, okay. And he puts his phone away. So now we know that it is not Ted that she is talking to.
That's
right. That it is Sam.
Yep.
And then at the same time, back at the football club, Dr. Sharon was getting ready to go. She was going to meet them for some drinks. She just had to go put some stuff back in her office. And she agreed to go meet the guys out for one drink. But when she gets to her office, she finds Ted. And is he hugging his backpack? He must be hugging his backpack.
Yeah.
So he went down to his office, got his stuff, took off his jacket, and then went straight up to her office to just lay on the couch until she got there. Because he probably figured if he didn't, he was going to chicken out on getting an appointment with her. So she finds him there and she's like, are you okay? And he says, I would like to make an appointment. And that is how the episode ends.
And that's in true Ted fashion.
Yes. Meaning, he had to be kicked. He had to be dragged kicking and screaming.
Well, and that, and just the fact that I'd like to make an appointment now, like I need to talk now.
Right.
I'd like to make an appointment. Yes.
All very polite about it.
Right.
Some of the things we learned about Ted.
All right.
That was a cat. He doesn't think that you should give your opinions about other people's relationships.
Yeah, and we did learn that.
We did, and I think that is going to be important for a future episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he and Beard have a surprise sandwich Friday, which I think is pretty freaking cool.
Yes, that is so cute.
You make each other lunch, and then like you eat whatever the other one makes you.
Right, and like they know each other well enough to know. Although Beard, when he sniffs his sandwich, he says, no horseradish? And Ted's like, I thought you were allergic. And he says, to horses and radishes.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's much different.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I love how he thinks that meeting a person's mom is an instruction manual as for why they are crazy.
Mm, yeah, well.
Yes. And now that I am a mother and a daughter of someone, I understand how true that really is.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
I'm sure our kids will have plenty to say about me in therapy
then,
someday.
Ted drives. Who knew?
I know.
Who taught him how to drive?
I really want to know there. Who taught him how to drive.
I wonder how long it would take to learn how to drive there on the opposite side.
I mean, yeah, probably not too long. I mean, I think it's just got to feel really disorienting at first to be on the other side of the road. But I think and we know that Ted already has a problem looking the right way when he tries to cross a road. So I feel like it could take Ted a little longer.
And we also know that Ted is a big fan of those Crazy Calls answering machine. Yes. From the 80s. I totally remember that commercial with all the different, like, you can buy this tape and it's a bunch of answering machine greetings.
That is so fantastic.
And it would play either, like, I think you could put the tape in your machine and it would play each one randomly, depending on when people would call. They would just play in order, I think. I don't know, but
yeah, I
mean, I can't imagine who would buy that, but but one of them is the one of them's like, nobody's home,
yes.
Nobody's home, and then but one of them is the rap, which is the wait for the beep. You got to leave your name, you got to leave your number, and I just can't believe as soon as I heard that, I'm like, what is that a reference to? And I remember
that is
a bit
Ted.
Of my childhood of watching those commercials.
You know who?
So would go have, look it up. It's called 1980s Crazy Calls Answering Machines.
You know who would have put that on? Someone who was 46 to 55.
Okay.
In 1980.
All right.
When it came out, I probably would have thought that was a really good idea.
That's true.
Which is how old we are now.
Right.
She, for what we learned about Rebecca, is that she did give her opinion to her mother about her relationship,
right.
And that her mom didn't talk to her for 9 months after that.
Never good. Yeah. See, and that's throwback to what Ted said.
Yes.
Or Ted thinks.
It's a parallel to what he thinks. And that had to be really upsetting for her because she was only 19 or so, I think she said, when it happened. So, and we're going to learn more about Rebecca's past that is even more upsetting to her because... She really was trying to help her mom out. And then I thought it was interesting that Rebecca knew about Beard and Jane. Because it just kind of shows that she knows a little more about what's going on. Like, this is the woman who didn't know Nate's name for the first 5 episodes.
True.
So now I feel like she's kind of coming around and she now knows more about these people than we even realize that she does. I feel like she's a little more interested in their lives and stuff. She's not quite the Ted where she knows everything about Liza and Liam and...
Right.
And everyone else. But I do think she's paying attention more than they may realize. And then for what did Rebecca learn? I had that she maybe does need to have that conversation with her mom. It ended up being a moot point because her mom wasn't there. But I do think after she saw Beard and Higgins have that conversation, she felt like, you know, if you really do care about someone, you have to keep trying.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then for Ted... I just had that he, for what Ted learned is that it may be time to try therapy.
Yeah, you think? Yeah. After trying to avoid it for so long.
Yes, and continuing to have these very public panic attacks.
Yeah, that's right.
So do you think they're any more aware of each other?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, because, you know, Rebecca's so far into, like, you know, sexy Luca.
Right.
No, what's his name?
Yeah. Hunky Luca.
Hunky Luca. Yes. And then she's so far into banter. It's hard to say. I mean, she did go looking for him after the panic attack. Yeah. She knew he had one and she cared enough to go and like try to track him down. And but then it turned out like, you know, she was actually looking for a pep talk as well. Even though she was, I think if she would have got a hold of him on the phone, she would have talked about his panic attack and where he's at. And then...
Right.
Gotten a pep talk.
I think she was just trying to get him to call her back because that would have inspired him.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Back. Yeah. I just.
But I don't know. I wouldn't say this episode has moved them forward.
Yeah.
Right.
No. I mean, not. So I was very surprised at how deeply she cared for him and was looking for him. I don't think at this point, you know, I mean, she could possibly think he's a cute guy or whatever and not as ridiculous as she first thought.
Right.
But this is not what she thinks she's looking for at all.
Exactly.
And
that's a good way to put it.
She's still looking for what she's always looked for. And I think that she's not looking at him in that kind of way.
Yeah.
But whether she realizes it or not, he is someone that means a lot to her because, you know, he's a very good friend and not only inviting him to lunch, but just the fact that she was really looking for him and seemed very worried as to what was going on. And she noticed that he ran off the field, knew exactly what it was because she recognized it from last time and she recognizes panic attacks. So, and Ted on his side, I mean, I think I am changing my stance a tiny bit towards the end of the season that I think Ted could start to have a crush on Rebecca earlier than I realized. But at this point, he's still way in his head. He's still calling Michelle his wife. Like, I think he's still just such a mess. So yeah, sure. While Rebecca is also somebody who means a lot to him, I don't think that they're thinking it on that level yet. All right, so that's it. The next episode we're going to cover is called Headspace. Yeah. It mostly deals with Roy and Keeley. I don't even think that Ted and Rebecca really talk to each other at all in it, but I think there's still enough of them individually, you know, especially now that we know that Rebecca is talking to Sam and Ted's going to start therapy.
All right.
That it still kind of works. So, all right, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.